And you got Noah hanging around too. Noah Haynes is our producer. Welcome into the program. It is signing day 2023. I'm Matt Coulter along with Lars Anderson. Lars, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I've always found this to be one of the more exciting days of the year. It's the one day that I really, really pay attention to recruiting. And all signs are pointing toward Alabama, perhaps flipping a few players and pulling off the number one recruiting class in the country. Just have to wait on a few guys and see what they're going to do. But, you know, it's a little anticlimactic in that really all the top players in the class, at least the vast majority of them, are already on campus practicing. And I know that there is going to be a ceremony held tomorrow at some point for the guys who are already there. We'll just have to see. We'll have to see what happens with a few different players. But for the ceremony tomorrow, that will include Julian Sain, Caleb Odom, Casey Poe, Drake Kirkpatrick Jr., Peyton Woodyard, Sterling Dixon, William Sanders, Xavier Brown, and Joseph Ionada. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But, it looks good for Alabama.
It does. It also looks very good for Auburn. They've gotten a couple of flips here this morning, and Auburn may end up with a top five recruiting class. Of course, that's according to the different sources, but you know, you get that kind of information. We already knew this was coming, right, Lars? We already knew Hugh Freeze is going to bring it.
Yeah.
And he is.
Yeah.
He got Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson, a pair of terrific wide receivers. And then he got a four-star quarterback. Don't know much about him, but I'll throw the name out there. It's Walter White. Isn't that the name of the guy on Breaking Bad? That's Walter White. My bad. Okay. But just try and throw some humor in. Recruiting day. Worked it, done it for 40 years. I'll be honest with you people. I'll keep up with it. This is the only day in my life throughout the years that I worked. The rest of the times I had a career, I had a vocation, I was doing. This is a tough day. It's not as tough as it used to be back when television was really the main medium. We had to send trucks and satellite and microwave and crews all over the state, literally. It was a tough day. It's a grueling day, and I feel for those guys that have to, you know, that reported at 6 and will get off at midnight tonight, because it is a long and arduous task when signing day. But it's not the same, Lars. You have two different signing days now. You got, like at Alabama, 11 players that are going to sign today, or have signed today, I should say. They're already practicing.
Yeah.
Think about it. Just stop and think about that. These guys were practicing with Alabama last Saturday, and they hadn't even signed. So, crazy times, man.
Yeah, and one player to look at is edge rusher Edric Houston. He's been committed to Ohio State for a while, but Steve Wiltfong of 24/7 Sports, who does a lot of their national recruiting, he is projecting that Houston is going to flip and join the Alabama class. He's a five-star. And,
Bone talked about him yesterday. Pardon me for interrupting, but
yeah.
Andrew Bone from on3.com, which, by the way, you want to follow it, go there. But he talked extensively about him. And, you know, that's a big flip, not just as a player, but that's a big kind of in your eye, too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. To Ohio State. And, re-emphasizes that Nick Saban still has the magic touch when it comes to recruiting. He's also, or on three, predicting that Arian Hampton, a four-star athlete out of Texas, is going to flip from Texas to Alabama at noon today. So this should be happening right about now. He's making his decision or his announcement. And, this morning, I swear, Perry Thompson, out of Foley, right? The wide receiver. Yeah, he tweeted, it's about to go down. And you got to remember, he was a one-time Alabama commit who flipped to Auburn, but he's been teasing the Crimson Tide that he may flip back. And then Perry Thompson had his ceremony, and there were two hats on the table, apparently. I didn't see this, but he reached for the Alabama hat. But then he left it on the table and took off his jacket to reveal an Auburn jersey underneath. So, he was having a little fun with, the Crimson Tide, fans there. So, that'll be something that probably won't be forgotten. I don't know. I mean, I think it's just kids having fun, but, you never know how it's all gonna shake out in the future.
Well, I'm not real fond of it. It's their day, their kids, they're young. They can do that. That's all right. But I do think every once in a while, maybe somebody lines up across from you and go, "Hey, you remember when you did that little hat trick? Wham!" Like Rob Biggle, wham, wham. But it is a very, very important day. Others that are having good classes, it's the norm, isn't it? I mean, you've got Georgia's going to have a great class. Isn't it like Georgia and Alabama right now are battling for 1 and 2? Gee,
yeah.
Imagine that.
Shocker. Yeah, and then
I think Florida is falling like a rock. They dropped out of the top 10.
And at about 11 o'clock Central Time in Quebec, Stephen Mbawaye, he was about to make his decision. And, interestingly, it was conducted in French, because they speak
now
French.
Now that's the signing day I want to be at.
And so he was choosing, he's a 4-star defensive lineman, choosing between Alabama and Mississippi State. And, apparently, as it was going on in French, a child was, crying. And finally he said, maybe to comfort the child, I don't know. He picked Alabama. So a big get for Alabama. And again, now you have a lot of national recruiting gurus projecting that Alabama has a really good chance to jump up to number one in the overall rankings. Not that it really means that much between 1, 2, or 3, but as I've said before, you know, Matt, up until about 10 years ago, I really didn't buy much into where recruiting classes ranked. I never thought that there was a direct correlation. Well, as these recruiting experts have gotten more sophisticated these guys do this year round, full time, there is absolutely a correlation to your recruiting class and how you do 2-3 years later. And so, I base my sort of, skepticism from a long time ago, the fact that Nebraska's classes, in the mid 90s, when they won 3 out of 4 national championships, their classes were probably average rank was maybe 23, 24. And it was, Nebraska was a developmental program, but now you have kids who are, training year round, enrolling early and making an immediate impact. And they're just so much more, sophisticated sort of football wise and athletically than they were, two decades ago. But so now you have so many kids making an immediate impact. And so, yes, there is a correlation.
Cool beans, it's signing day. We'll talk more about that and continue with this show. Coming up, we'll talk to Jeff Spiegel, who is behind the scenes and making all the moves to give really, really good coverage to signing day. So he is coming up, and we're going to take some phone calls, your questions. We'll talk about the Scooters Coffee Bowl last night. It was exciting for a while anyway. Also, got to talk about my man Aaron Rodgers. He is not your man, Matt. Aaron Rodgers, could he play before the season's end? You're listening to Big Noon Sports, presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage.
Chicken salad. Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll-tied as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon. The high today, 54. Another freeze likely tonight, clear with the low at 30. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine, the high 57. And Friday, the warming trend continues. The sky partially sunny, the high at 60. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 51 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
It is Big Noon Sports. And welcome back. Hey, Lars, what do you think about them activating Aaron Rodgers? Don't really know if he's going to play. You're the contract guy. What does that mean?
It means that they'll have a chance to put him on the... I don't know. I think that there is no way on God's green he is going to play this year. Now, I'm convinced that if he does play, then he didn't suffer a full tear of his Achilles. As someone who has suffered a torn Achilles, there is no way. I'm just telling you.
Lars, can I put the brakes on here? That's Lars Anderson. This is Aaron Rodgers, professional athlete, being paid $40 million a year for his legs, his arm, his brain. So
no one in the history of athletics has come back from a torn Achilles.
That's an absolute falsehood.
How
do you know that? How do you know that?
Prove me wrong.
I don't mean to get in. Let's bring it. Prove you right. Excuse me.
I'm just telling you. Yeah. All right.
You got to prove. All right. If you're going to bring it up, then you need to bring the facts. Okay. Lars, I'm totally kidding. I hope you're not taking me serious. All right. Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340. He's going to come in here, black and white shirt. Get to your neutral corners, gentlemen. Hey, Jeff, how's it going? I know you've got a big family. You got all your Christmas shopping done?
Well, you know what? I don't do that much Christmas shopping. All the Christmas shopping of my family is done by my wife, Julie. And I told somebody at work the other day when the kids and the grandkids open their presents, I'm as surprised as they are.
That's great.
I'm not just being honest.
No, I love it. That's exactly what I think. When you do shop, do you do the online stuff, or do you actually get out and go to Target or wherever? I shouldn't plug any of them.
This is a true story. One night, Christmas Eve, I was in a panic. And I was shopping for something for probably Julie. And I went to the Walgreens. Or I went to Walgreens. When I say I went to the Walgreens, it sounds like I'm doing the country thing. But I went to Walgreens, and who did I see in there who was also shopping for a Christmas present? James Spann. Man. Yeah. We're just busy guys. I mean, you know, we need people to shop for us.
Hey, you know, I've always thought, and I think there is a service that does that, but I've always told my middle child, Madison, she's the best shopper I've ever seen in my life. Now, she will overspend like crazy, but she gets it done, and she gets it done fast. And there's an art to that, and it's something that I don't think guys possess that. I know a few that, you know, have already gotten their shopping done, they're wrapped, they're ready to go, but not many. Lars, have you?
No, no, not at all. By the way, since you challenged me on this, Cam Akers, a running back, came back from a torn Achilles in 173 days, and that is about 5.5 months or so. So that is about as quick as I can ever recall. And there were a lot of stories written at the time that that was the fastest anyone's come back in a single season. And so
fastest running back.
He was a running back for the Rams, when he popped his Achilles, when he tore his Achilles. So ruptured Achilles used to be career killers. They're not anymore. You can come back, but to come back in 4 months, I'm not buying it. What do you want to wager? I will wager whatever you want. I'll wager my house, my children, anything you want on the fact that
he won't play.
He will not take a single snap this season.
Well, there's a bit difference between him taking a snap and recovering fully, because he could recover within a year. So I've got to think we got to set up the boundaries here, and then we can also include Jeff Spiegel, because I know what
Jeff. I just I couldn't let this one go.
No. Jeff, what it is since Lars has had this injury, he doesn't think anybody can recover faster than he did. And that's what I'm giving him a hard time.
That absolutely is not true, because I still haven't fully recovered, and it happened 5 years ago.
All right, let's get that out of the way.
Well, for me, a torn fingernail would be a career killer. But this Achilles thing, I mean, when I saw that he was on the bottom line of ESPN, that, you know, he was going to come back, I go, I call BS on that, because that ain't happening. And so it didn't surprise me when I saw yesterday that, you know, he's not coming back. And now, is he coming back? Is he not coming back? He ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. He ain't coming back till next year. You just can't do it.
Well, I think they said in the report that we ran at the top of the hour from Fox Sports that if nothing else, it's a morale builder. I don't know if I buy that either. But that's what they say. The Jets don't the Jets just still have a snowball's chance here of getting in the playoffs?
I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. National Signing Day, Jeff. How have you covered National Signing Day, and how is it different now as opposed to even a decade ago?
Well, it's different now because now we have a December day, and the December day is really taking, you know, all the shine off the February day, because most of these guys sign and they enroll early. And so the December day is much bigger than the February day. Signing day to me always used to be a really, really fun day. I mean, back when it was in February, it seems like there was always some drama. One of the, you know, most unforgettable ones I can think of is, you know, Cadillac Williams, who up until the 11th hour, you know, was a Tennessee guy. And then he rips off the jacket and has the number 24 Auburn jersey. And, you know, people just went crazy. The Brody Croyle announcement was pretty cool. Of course, a lot of people, you know, bring up the Julio Jones announcement. And I remember riding in the car back in, when Tim Tebow announced, and listening to that on the radio, and it being just a really, really big deal, because Alabama really thought, you know, they had an outside shot, you know, at getting him. And right. Then when he committed to Florida, that kind of took all the wind out of the sails. And, you know, of course, then that brought up the old thing. Well, where would Alabama be if Tim Tebow had, you know, committed or signed with Alabama? And you start going down that rabbit hole, and it takes you in all kinds of different directions.
You said it was fun. Did you say that?
I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun. Now look, anchoring it is no fun, because, you know, you've got your traffic cop, and you've got like 20 different stories, and they only give you 4 minutes, and it's just crazy to pack all that into a, you know, a 4 minute digestible, you know, lunch, dinner, snack, whatever you want to call it. And that's the challenge here. So
Well, that's when you ask for extra time and James Spann says no.
Well, no, I mean, the 4 minutes, that is extra time, Matt. That's the extra time. I usually get 2:45 at 6. But you might, you know, we'll get it done. Yeah, we'll get it done. It'll be fine. And, you know, I went to Parker this morning, and I always think it's a really cool thing, you know, because these kids have their moment and they've earned it, you know, and everyone can have all their debates about, you know, having all the hats on the table and playing all that game. Well, I mean, you don't see much of that anymore. Most guys have their mind made up by the time they put their, you know, name on the dotted line. And that was the case this morning when Jeremiah Beamon signed with Alabama, and Malik Muhammad with UAB. And then they also had a young man signed with Alabama State, which is a big deal because that's an HBCU school that is, you know, a big time program in this state. And a kid's going to get to play in the Magic City Classic. And listen, that is a huge, huge deal.
No kidding.
Another huge deal is, and this is breaking right now, Arian Hampton, who has been committed to Texas for quite some time, just signed with Alabama. He is the number 9th athlete in the ranked by On3 in the country, 4-star. And again, this is another step forward for Nick Saban and perhaps Alabama claiming that number 1 overall slot. And Jeff, this leads me to a very difficult, I think, question to answer, and one that is sort of complicated and nuanced, and that is, what makes Nick Saban such a powerful recruiter?
Well, number one, he's got the swagger, man. I mean, he's when he walks into a living room, I mean, the presence, or he walks into any room, the presence is just unbelievable. I mean, because of the track record, because of the 7 national championships, you know, because of, you know, the what he stands for, the work ethic, you know, all that he's put into the programs, you know, at Alabama, and he's the best football coach on the planet right now. And when that guy walks into your living room or walks into your school, I mean, it's a crazy big day. And so, he's the closer, man. I mean, he's got it going on, and he's had it going on from the minute he arrived on campus and all those people were flocking around the, you know, the Tuscaloosa airport to greet him. And that woman laid that big sloppy kiss on his face. He's been the guy ever since he set foot on campus, and he's been a great recruiter even before he got to Alabama.
Yeah, and it's amazing, you know, in talking to recruits or players about their recruitment, of how, you know, everything is done with such precision that Nick Saban, he arrives at the airport. There's a car there waiting to pick him up. And you spend like 16 minutes on the schedule in the car. Then you're right into the coach, to the player's parents. Maybe you will stick around and watch practice, and then bam, back on the plane. And I know he has been traveling nonstop. How difficult is it for him right now, given the fact that there is this, you got to do this last push of recruiting, that he's getting pulled? Like, you want to prepare for the Rose Bowl, right? You want to prepare for Michigan. But now you also got to make sure that you secure your recruiting class.
Well, he's talked about how difficult that is, and that's one reason he hired George Hela, you know, to break down some film and give him a good scouting report when the guys get off the road recruiting. But he's got a lot of people that can help him take care of all that stuff so he can focus on recruiting. He's a guy who knows how to hire people and knows where to put people when it comes to situations like this.
All right, Jeff, can
great
you...
Great stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jeff, you going to hang for another segment? I figured you would.
Absolutely.
Let's talk to Michigan, Alabama, and a few other topics as well. You listen to Big Noon Sports, presented by Haley Sansing Union Home Mortgage.
champion Troy meets Duke in the 76 Birmingham Bowl on December 23rd at Protective Stadium. Tickets are on sale now, starting at just $30. The pregame festivities kick off December 22nd at the Bud Light Fan Fest Pep Rally at Uptown with live music, team pep rallies, and everything else you need to get in the game day spirit. This season, fill your holidays with good cheer. Get tickets and more information at BirminghamBowl.com.
Tapes. The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
Just to put this on the record here, Aaron Rodgers activated. Will he be able to play by the end of the year? He shouldn't, because they're already out. The Jets are no longer eligible for postseason. So to play him or even to practice him at any type of pace would just be absolutely ridiculous. He's only got a year or two left. So I will go with you guys on that. He shouldn't play, and I don't think he will.
It's too big of a risk.
However, he did make an appearance at Coniglio's Pizza because what's his name? DeVito did.
The Giants quarterback did.
Okay. I went a long way for that, and it wasn't worth it. Sorry about that.
Matt, it's been a really good last hour. And Matt and Jeff, really, it's been a good last hour for Ohio State. They held off Miami and Florida State and signed the number one overall player, according to 24/7 Sports, wide receiver Jeremiah Smith, going with the Buckeyes. And also a player who we thought was going to flip to Alabama instead does not. And a huge recruiting win for the Buckeyes in that they got five-star defensive end Edric Houston. He's staying with Ohio State, not going to Alabama, as he was projected by several of the top recruiting pundits. So
there you go. Hey, Spiegs, here's your go-to guy. He's keeping up with it. You need to have him there right on the anchor set, just handing you info.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, look at him coming up with two big ones here at 12:36. So, way to go, Lars. Yep. Keep it up. Keep up the. You know what I was thinking a minute ago, kind of candidly? Jeff, the worst thing that ever happened to signing day was the microwave. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to know what microwave meant to TV in the early 80s. It changed the face of television in many ways, didn't it, Jeff? It gave you the ability to go live.
Well, yeah. It really did. And since then, we progressed to live views. These little boxes that you carry around where you could just, you don't have to raise like a dish or anything. You just hook it up to the camera, man. You're good to go. And the signal is just fantastic. And that really changed things too for the better.
All right, let's talk some Michigan. Where's Alabama? I just give us your view, as the game is now less than 2 weeks away.
Well, I mean, I still feel really good about Alabama's chances. I still feel good really about them winning this thing by double digits. I really do. I mean, Michigan's got to show me that they can stay on the field, you know, in a big game like this with an SEC team. And if they can win a playoff game, period, you know, they got to show me that they can do that. Now they're going to be in the Rose Bowl, and everyone knows how much the Rose Bowl means to Big Ten teams. I mean, it's big, it's huge. So there's going to be a lot of guys pumped up, you know, on the old maize and blue, you know, about that game. But you know, no one's going to be more pumped up than Alabama. Listen, the motivation that's going to be used, you know, all the way up through that game, you know, from Nick Saban, is that people don't think you belong here. You know, they don't think you belong in the playoff. You know, so he's going to drum that in their heads, and they're going to come out, you know, with their hair on fire, as they say. So I like Alabama to win. I like Alabama to win by 14.
Jeff, I'm with you, and maybe Nick Saban can find the old game tape from the 1926 Rose Bowl and how important that was to Alabama. But I don't understand this, Jeff. Why is Michigan a favorite? Because I'm with you. I don't see Michigan. If Alabama doesn't beat themselves, I don't see Michigan staying within single digits. I think 14 is about the right number. But why is it that Michigan is favored in this game? Are we missing something?
I think a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot of people, I think some people expect this to be a low-scoring game. Because both lines, you know, are really physical. Both lines are really good. Offensive lines, defensive lines. And, when you have a game like that in that situation, then it turns into like a 17-14 game. And, you know, some, your big playmakers are going to have some trouble kind of getting untracked, you know, and in that case, you know, maybe that does favor Michigan. You know, a low scoring game like that, a high scoring game probably favors Alabama. But, that's probably why that is, because I think there are some folks who predict this to be, you know, just a slugfest, slobber knocker that, you know, the guys on the line of scrimmage are going to, you know, make the big game deciding plays in this game.
What do you think about the other game? We don't talk about it much. I know next week we'll get into it a little bit. But Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340, what do you think about Texas-Washington?
Well, I like Texas to win. And here's the thing, though. All the Washington guys are hearing that a lot of people like Texas to win. And this is a team that, you know, we saw what happened when they got so disrespected, you know, heading into the Pac-12 championship game, because everyone said, Bo Nix and the Ducks, you know, they're going to win the rematch. Well, the Ducks should have won that first game. You know, they're going to win this one. They're going to win the rematch. And then Michael Penix Jr. and those guys just came in there and just, you know, showed them what was what. So, you know, be careful about disrespecting Washington. They got a long way to travel. You know, probably Texas is going to have more fans there because maybe, you know, that could play a small factor, but this is a really good football team. That's a really, really good quarterback. And I think these two semifinal games have the potential to be, now I know that Alabama is going to win by 14, but they have the potential to be, you know, some really, really good football games. And in my opinion, the Texas-Washington game will be, you know, more of a nail biter than Alabama-Michigan.
If you had to choose between one quarterback, Quinn Ewers or Penix Jr., who would you take?
Yeah, I think I'd take Quinn Ewers all day long.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been, you know, week in and week out, you know, a little more consistent than Penix. Wow, I mean, that's a tough question, but I think I'd take Ewers over Penix.
And we've seen Penix's numbers have fallen off. I mean, he started out just absolutely on fire. And, I mean, certainly Ewers left an impression on all of us, who saw him up close and personal and what he did, against that Alabama defense. Do you think it would be somewhat apropos for Alabama and Texas to meet in the national championship?
Oh, without a doubt. I think that's the final that everyone wants to see. You know, for Texas, it would be, sweet, you know, for them to beat Alabama twice, because, you know, there are some people out there who think, well, Alabama's a whole lot better than they were when they played Texas that first time. And I agree. They really are better. But I think, you know, there's some Texas people who go, well, you know what? We're better than we were then too. So how about that? So, you know, you got that. So Texas would validate that they're indeed back, you know, if they could not only win the national championship, but do it by beating Alabama twice in one season.
Yeah. And you also have the Colt McCoy angle, right? Texas fans are still whining about Matt. Go ahead, but they're still Colt McCoy.
But didn't yours go down in the year before?
Yes, he did.
Alabama has a habit of taking Texas quarterbacks out. I wonder, if it happens again, we're gonna have to go through all that over again. But I guess I can stomach that. Okay,
I'm not mistaken. if I'm not mistaken, Dallas Turner, I think, took him out. You know, the same guy who took out Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Dallas Turner. Yeah, they call Will Anderson the Terminator. Maybe Dallas Turner is the real Terminator.
Yeah, boy, does he have a bright future in front of him. Hey, tell us about your coverage on ABC 3340 as far as signing day is concerned.
Well, we'll have a lot of stuff on signing day. We're going to be on at, 4, 5, 6, 10, recapping, the events of the day. And certainly we'll, just talking about it as the week goes on. But mainly today, 4, 5, 6, 10 for us. And I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, it's our pleasure, man. You're doing a great job. Appreciate all
Hey, thank
all
you.
Levels.
Y'all have a good day.
Merry Christmas. To Jeff Spiegel, the Speed Man. All right. Hey, I have breaking news out of the pizzeria in New Jersey. We'll get to that on the other side of the break on Big Noon Sports.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Tune in to Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon, the high today 54. Another freeze likely tonight, clear with a low at 30. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine, the high 57. And Friday, the warming trend continues. The sky partially sunny, the high at 60. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 52 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
I love bringing you stories like this. It's very cool because yesterday it was not cool. It was bad. Tommy DeVito, through his agent, had scheduled an appearance at Coniglio's Pizzeria in New Jersey. Evidently, it's just a big time and very well-known pizzeria. Yo, they had $10,000 to pay his appearance fee, so they got to be making a pretty darn good pie. But his agent wanted to raise it to $20, so the pizzeria said, we can't afford that. So apparently, at one point yesterday, it all blown up, sir. But today, actually yesterday afternoon, DeVito went to the pizzeria and made an unpaid appearance. Now, how cool is that?
That is awesome. That is a big single-fingered salute to the Giants, don't you think? I love it.
Oh, it's a great story. And, we were joking yesterday how it looked like they were just, it didn't look like it. And apparently what you see in the pictures and then their last names, I mean, these guys are pretty heavy Italians. So I wonder if somebody came over and had a little talk with Tommy and his agent. His name was Stello.
Yeah. I mean, he's as Italian as, I don't know.
Well, they made things right. When it's all said and done, they made it right. And when you make something right, that's great. But if you go beyond making it right and show up and don't accept any appearance money, that makes it really, really right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I asked Jeff this, and I wanted to ask you, Matt, how did you cover recruiting when you were, covering Bear Bryant? Or was recruiting even a thing back then?
Oh, it was a thing, but quite honestly, it was a thing owned by the University of Alabama and Paul William Bryant. I mean, Auburn got some recruits, and towards the end there now, we talked to Ben Tamborello. He was a real swing guy. You know, the Auburn center we had on a couple of weeks ago. And then Bo Jackson, of course, when Coach Bryant was trying to get him to sign with Alabama, suddenly he went with Pat Dye. That was huge. And that was fun back then, you know, when you were reporting there. But I remember standing in now parts of this were cool. I didn't mean to come back as a bah humbug signing day guy. But I had some great moments. I mean, I was standing in the gymnasium at the old Glenn High School in like 82, 83, when Bobby Humphrey signed, made his commitment right there. And then standing in Cornelius Bennett's mother's kitchen where she made all those biscuits and, you know, getting video and doing an interview with him when he signed with Alabama. So I have some really, really cool moments. And if I just will just continue on for just a minute, I'd have to think it was 89. It's around the time that Alabama signed Jay Barker. But about that time, they also signed David Palmer, the bookends. You remember Curry and Copeland, national championship, the two defensive ends? But yep, Antonio Langham, they all came in around that time, and that was fun covering them. But it is a very labor and very intense day when it comes to trying to – literally what you're trying to do is you're trying to outgun your competition and see if you can get that one more piece of video, that one more soundbite that your competition didn't have.
You know, I'm always interested in the ones that got away. And one of my favorite stories is about the NFL's all-time leading rusher, Emmitt Smith. He went to high school in Florida, and he told friends and family members that he was going to show up to school on signing day wearing the colors of the school he was committed to or committing to. And he was down between Nebraska and Florida. So what does he do? He comes to school that day all decked out in a red sweatsuit, pants and top, and then gets up to the microphone and says, "I'm going to Florida." Wow. I mean, it just killed Nebraska fans. Killed Nebraska fans.
Boy, I'll bet they remember that to this day.
Well, I do.
I'll bet. You know, I love Emmitt. And I think when you speak of the greatest running backs of all time, you have to mention him immediately.
Oh, for sure.
But I didn't – that's not something – knowing him a little bit more after high school, that's not something I would see him doing.
No, but, no. He's 17, 18 years old, you know. But, yeah, it felt kind of cruel at the time to do that.
Did you guys get Rayola? Did I just see a
Nebraska,
text on that?
Yep, Nebraska signed Rayola.
Nebraska got Rayola?
Yep.
See, that's a big flip. I mean, I bet that's man, the I biggest, would really like to have about 30 seconds of watching Kirby Smart when that happened. Man,
yeah,
he is not a happy guy.
Dylan Rayola is the biggest recruit that Nebraska has signed since Tommy Frazier. And you go before then, it would be Turner Gill. I mean, this is potentially program altering, and you know, I would be shocked if it doesn't start day one, and Nebraska's just going to build everything around him. Nebraska's never had a five-star. At one point he was the number one overall player. People have him now anywhere from 5 to 10, but most recruiting services have him as the number one overall drop back sort of pocket passer. And man, he's a big kid. 6'3", 6'4". And he's 18 and he weighs 230 pounds. But then again, you got to remember his dad played center for Nebraska, was all American at Nebraska. His name is on the stadium, and he played center for the Lions for about a decade. So his dad's a pretty big dude, and so is Dylan Rayola.
There's a picture online that I saw yesterday, And it was him like walking out of a classroom, not classroom, but actually out of the front of the school. And it looked like, you know, he had some family members. And then there was this guy who looked like about average height and weight standing next to him. And he looked like he was about 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was kind of small in stature and in height and weight, but Raiola. I mean, he looked like he could play linebacker. He looked like a safety is what he looked like.
He's a big kid. And it was interesting when he announced on two days ago, that he was going to go to Nebraska. He put out this video, and it was so clean and slick and well-produced. I mean, I was thinking to myself, this video must have cost like $5,000 to make. It was all set to the song, like, I'm coming home. And, you know, it's just, we're just in a different world now, Matt.
Oh, no kidding. But, you know, you can do, it's just like Speaks was talking about. You can do that stuff on your phone. I remember many years ago, there was a place down in Pelham, and that's what they did. They would make videos of your child, be it girls basketball or track and field, mostly football, but they would make videos and then they would send them out to select schools because there are a lot of scholarships, believe it or not, that go unused. All right. Hour number one on this Wednesday. We're coming back on the other side of the top of the hour. And Larson, give us an update since he is our recruiting analyst for the day. You're listening to Big Noon Sports, brought to you by Larley Thompson, the Bama broker.
Trust your WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Kevin Wired.
Some developing news in the NFL as NFL Network reporting Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers is going to be activated off of injured reserve, and head coach Robert Saleh saying, quote, we're still going to keep him on the active. It's all a part of his rehab. Just having him on the field is a plus for everybody, for him and his teammates. Rodgers did tell the Pat McAfee show that he is not yet ready to play after his Achilles injury. Other NFL injury news, Colts head coach Shane Steichen telling reporters running back Jonathan Taylor is progressing well. He will participate in today's walkthrough practice just as he had in the past few weeks, and there remains optimism he will be able to play this week. And Falcons owner Arthur Blank saying that he's going to let the season play out before determining the fate of current head coach Arthur Smith, and Chargers president John Spano saying that there will be no limitations on their head coach and general manager search.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Signing day. Big Noon Sports presented to you by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage. And join us is the digital sports content manager for Town Square Media, Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa. Carrie is sitting there in the studio and also in the building, constantly keeping up with recruiting. Why I didn't ask you in earlier, I don't know, Carrie. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Well, I've been pretty busy. You picked a good time.
All right.
Merry Christmas to you too. I've been hard at it since 6:45 a.m. tracking signing day.
I'll bet you have. Well, tell us the latest. Is it a signing for Alabama?
Well, the latest was the flip of Aaron Hampton, a wide receiver from Dangerfield, Texas. Longtime commitment to Steve Sarkisian is instead going to be bringing his speed and hands and route running to Tuscaloosa. So that was pretty big. That was the 21st signing of the morning, and we've been doing this, like I said, since about 6:45.
What do you think made Alabama so, I mean, in spite, not beyond the obvious, what made Alabama so appealing to Hampton, and why do you think he flipped from Texas, where he would have a chance to grow with presumably Arch Manning, to flip to Alabama?
Well, most people think Arch Manning is going to be in the portal, so I don't know that he'll be there next year. But I think it's the fact that Alabama has a quarterback that signed today that is considered to be the next Bryce Young. And Julian Sain is awesome. And not to mention Jalen Milroe, Lars. I mean, he gets an opportunity to play 1 year with Milroe and then the other 2 or 3 years with Sain. So, I you know, a lot of people in Texas don't think that Arch will be there because Arch was disappointed that the current starter is coming back next year. He was told otherwise when he signed.
Any idea why Murphy left? That seemed odd to me, especially the timing.
Which Murphy are we talking
Murphy,
about?
Murphy, the backup. Is it Malik Murphy? Malachi Murphy? The backup to Ewers. Am I getting the name wrong?
Oh, the Texas backup quarterback.
I didn't explain myself very well.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to start boning up more on Texas when they get in the conference. But right now, I don't know that much about them.
Okay, what else has happened that might light up Alabama fans? Either way, bad or good.
Well, here in the last or the next few minutes, Alabama's expected to flip a local product. Oddly enough, Tuscaloosa County High in Northport running back Kevin Riley has been committed for about 6 months to Miami to play for Mario Cristobal. But Alabama swooped in at the last minute and made a pitch. And it appears that in the next few minutes, he's going to commit to the University of Alabama. So that'll be two flips. The saying around here is Merry Flipmas. And that will be two today. And, of course, there was another one they really wanted to get, Edrick Houston, a defensive lineman in Buford, Georgia. But he decided to stick with his original commitment to Ohio State. So Bama's batting 667 on flips today.
Yeah, and Noah just texted us that Kevin Riley, in fact, flipped to Alabama. What does that mean to the Crimson Tide?
Well, they got a versatile local product, Lars. He played running back the first half of the year, and then the second half of the year, their defense was struggling so much, they moved him to linebacker, and he was a productive linebacker for Coach Adam Weingarten out at Tuscaloosa County. I think Alabama will probably play him at running back, but who knows? I mean, he could even be a strong safety if he wanted to. He's got a lot of ability to play a lot of different positions. And I don't really think he'll play a ton next year other than special teams. He'll probably be an ace on kick coverage and punt coverage. But down the road, this is a guy that can really help Alabama. One of the best comparisons I've seen to him, and you hesitate to bring up a name from the Mike Shula era, but a lot of people think as a running back, he's very similar to Kenneth Darby.
Ah, interesting.
Sounds like a Bo Scarborough, if he can play both sides.
Well, then that's not a horrible comparison either, Matt.
Bo's always big and bulky, and so I don't know if I have not seen this kid. Sorry, Lars, I stepped all over you.
No, that's my bad. Did you think Perry Thompson was going to flip from Auburn to Alabama?
I did not. I thought that was a ploy. I know that Perry was disappointed that Cam Coleman from Phoenix City got more NIL than he did. And Nick Saban did visit him a week ago. But I really don't think he ever was going to flip because Alabama was offering, I think, just my opinion, even less NIL than Auburn. So I think Perry just was told by the Auburn coaches and Freeze to make it seem like he was going to flip. And then, like, they made this last-minute move to hang on to him. But it was really just showmanship. I mean, you know, picks up an Auburn hat, picks up a Bama hat, opens up his shirt to reveal an Auburn shirt. And, I mean, it was just a little show, like a little sideshow, a circus show. And Alabama never seriously thought it was going to flip him. I can tell you that. Alabama's racking up at receiver right now. Perry Thompson may be a good receiver at Auburn. We'll see. But he's from Foley, but he ain't no Julio.
Do you think the progress and watching the development and the success of Jalen Milroe has aided a couple of these wide receivers to go ahead and say, yeah, I want to play with that guy or I want to be around that guy?
The combination of that and knowing who his successor is probably going to be in Julian Sain. I think it's two things, both those things. But, yeah, I mean, they've seen what's been done by Tommy Rees with Milroe, so they know that whoever the quarterback is, he's going to be developed. He'll be able to get the ball to him. You kind of wonder why any receiver in their right mind would be dying to go to Auburn right now. I mean, who's going to get the ball to you?
PT.
PT blocking people on running plays? PT running routes and getting overthrown or underthrown? Okay, go for it. Have fun.
So here's a simple question, but probably requires a complicated answer. What makes Nick Saban such a good recruiter?
Tireless. Tireless effort. There's an old saying about recruiting that if you skip a day or two, it's like shaving. You look like a bum. He doesn't skip a day or two. He's clean shaven in real life, and he's clean shaven when it comes to recruiting. He just never relents. I mean, he stays in touch with these kids, whether it's cell phone, Zoom, maybe having Cedric text for him, or however he does it. He stays in contact with them, and it's just, I mean, he blocks out time every day to work on it. Watching film, calling kids, you know, he just tireless, very That's tireless.
That's a great description, and no more evidence is needed than this past weekend or a few days ago, where he takes the Bama jet all the way out to California to see Saban. And even though Saban has been almost just locked and dropped for like a year, in fact, he committed over a year ago, but Saban's still tirelessly recruiting him. Imagine he does that with some of his own players now, because you have to recruit to keep the kids around, too.
Yeah, you have to keep them out of the portal. And the irony about saying is, yes, Nick did fly out to California to recruit in person a week ago, but now he's here in town practicing with the team since Saturday.
It's crazy. All right, I know you got to get back to work. We'll let you do that. But just one more, because you and I have been in this business about the same amount of time. Is there a couple things that have changed in signing day? And I know, obviously, moving and having an earlier signing day has a dramatic effect on it. But just in the overall coverage of it, from the media standpoint, how much has it changed?
Well, you and I go back to when people like Freddie Kirby and Bruce Parrish were sending out newsletters, and Kirk McNair, and people just recruiting. And we were getting stuff in the mail about it and thrilled to get it. Then came, like, voicemail-type stuff. And then the Internet changed everything, Matt. It changed everything about recruiting. There's now instantaneous access to digital information that when I first started recruiting coverage, Lenny Patrick was playing. So that's the guy that got me interested in it. And there was no Internet back then. This was 16, 17 years before the Internet came around. So I've gone from newsletters to voicemails to the Internet with my recruiting deal, and it's just become worldwide, man.
Gary, don't forget that all-important fax machine. Oh, didn't Alabama set up a camera by their fax machine one year?
Yeah, they did. Yep. Yeah. Had a girl in a short houndstooth skirt going up there getting the faxes. Right. They still call her fax girl. They still joke about her on the various websites, as recently as about an hour ago.
Hey, I'll let you get back to work. Really appreciate you dropping in, and enjoy working with you all the time. Thank you, Kerry Clark.
Thank you for having me, man. Talk to y'all later.
You bet. Go to the Tide app, go to the website, go through Tide 100.9, and you will be able to keep up with what's going on firsthand with our own Kerry Clark. Hey, we got to run. We get back. I've got a Christmas question for Lars and for you. You can dial in and you can answer 205-342-9904.
Champion Troy meets Duke in the 76 Birmingham Bowl on December 23rd at Protective Stadium. Tickets are on sale now, starting at just $30. The pregame festivities kick off December 22nd at the Bud Light Fan Fest Pep Rally at Uptown, with live music, team pep rallies, and everything else you need to get in the game day spirit. This season, fill your holidays with good cheer. Get tickets and more information at BirminghamBowl.com.
The
100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon. The high today 54. Another freeze likely tonight. Clear with a low at 30. Tomorrow lots of sunshine. The high 57. And Friday the warming trend continues. The sky partially sunny. The high at 60. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 53 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Signing day. Lars, back before they moved to an earlier day along with the regular day, I think it was always held on the first Wednesday in February. Does that sound correct to you?
Yeah.
And when there was only one day, it was, well, you can imagine, but you were there. The added pressure of getting things done and having it done that day, particularly on those covering it, because then, you know, we're trying to get the information out there to the fans best we can, as fast as we can. So it was even more demanding just a few years ago. So a little less demanding. Here's a question for you, Lars. Okay?
Okay.
Do you have a favorite Christmas cookie?
I do. And it's,
lay it on me.
Is it, first probably of all, be, it's probably Nebraska, like, thing. This is my Nebraska roots, and, you know, we're kind of meat and potatoes, plain Jane people. I just love a sugar cookie. Just a sugar cookie.
And the kind that when you take a bite of them, it just kind of melts all over your mouth. You don't even really have to chew them. Yeah, yep. They're good. Very good.
Yeah. How about you?
And this is on my rearing, too. My mother's parents were German. In fact, their last name was Rommel. Not related. But, man, they used to get some horrible phone calls. They lived in America, but that last name didn't help them out. But anyway, my grandmother would make these hard gingerbread cookies that had, it kind of tastes like a ginger snap, only a lot better. And then she would take a knife and just scroll across the top of it with little white icing. And there would be a jar in her dining room. And when we came to visit them for Christmas, I hate to say this, but we probably didn't hug first. We got a cookie, then hugged. They were that good. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I just, cookies and Christmas seem to go hand in hand. I mean, I don't think about cake. I don't think about pies. Do you? I mean,
no.
I guess maybe you do some pies, but not really cake. But I always think of cookies, and it's good to know that you have a Nebraska cookie to go with.
Yes.
What direction should we head? Do you want to? Hey, to tell you, know, you're a long form writer, long articles in magazines, and of course, 12 now working on 13 books. So you had deadlines certainly, but it wasn't hour to hour like it is in recruiting. Do you have, other than the one you shared about Emmett Smith, which is hysterical and hurtful to all the big Reds, but do you have another recruiting story in, you know, in your quiver?
I wanted to, you know, get into what makes Nick Saban such a good recruiter. And, you know, our previous guest, Kerry, used the word
Clark,
tireless, just relentless. The thing with Nick Saban is it is a 24/7, 365-day pursuit. And there is a part of every day that, at least every working day, probably every off day as well, if there are any, that assistants and Nick himself, they spend it on recruiting. And when they are in the process of trying to figure out who they want to target, they do what is called basically a seven deep dive. And they want to talk to the seven most important people in that recruit's life, whether it is, you know, obviously parents, coach, high school counselor, friend, uncle. We know all about the uncles in the recruiting game. but they want to know as much about the character aspect of a player, and do they have the character to to almost, I don't know what the right word is, maybe endure at Alabama, right? Because this Alabama is not for everybody. Nick Saban is not for everybody. You better be willing to work your ass off. And there are no shortcuts in Tuscaloosa with Nick Saban, right? And so they got to figure out who fits that sort of like almost personality profile. And then who fits the profile on their, talent wise. And Nick Saban, and this has been rapidly evolving, and he started doing this when he was with Bill Belichick as an assistant for the Browns, is that they developed a height, weight, speed metric for every position. This is the ideal height. This is the ideal weight. This is the ideal speed. All right. And then you want to find a player who is close to that perfect metric as possible. And so you identify that. And then, I mean, he wants to know about knee dexterity, ankle dexterity, 10-yard sprint time. I mean, it is as scientific as an approach as anyone has in college football. And then he's just, you know, the ultimate closer. When he was recruiting Julio Jones, who both you and I believe is the single most important recruit of the Nick Saban era, because Julio, far and away, you know, the number one guy in the country, down in Foley, Alabama. He had committed to Oklahoma. Oklahoma had Sam Bradford, who would go on to win the Heisman Trophy. They're throwing the ball all over the field. It's a perfect place to go for a wide receiver like Julio. And Nick Saban, you know, walks in there, walks into the living room, talks to Mom and Julio, and basically says, "You know you're good. I know you're good. We want you. I want you. But we're going to win with or without you." And
mic drop.
And they hadn't done anything.
Mic drop.
Nick Saban hadn't done anything at that point at Alabama. But there was conviction in his voice. There was, and I've talked to, you know, Coach Saban about this. I've talked to Julio about this. There was just something that left Julio, like, absolutely hypnotized. Like, this guy is not, there is not one iota of BS to this dude. And so what did he do? He flipped. And then that showed, like, the rest of the country. And high school players talk, you know, the best high school players in the country, they talk. And the fact that Julio went there, that was there would have been a game changer if Julio hadn't decided to do that. But he was the game changer because he believed, Nick Saban, you know, went in there and he didn't sing Julio's praises. You know, he didn't go on and on and on, and he didn't promise anything. He didn't tell him how great he was. He just said, "Come." And that was sort of the beginning of what we're seeing now. And again, I think Georgia has essentially clinched the number one spot in the country, but Alabama is going to be number two. But that is beside the point. The larger point I'm trying to make is that nobody can recruit like Nick Saban. And even in the winter of his career, he still is as fierce as ever.
Certainly is, and you see it. And you actually hold the key to what may be the most important thing about Saban's success. You hold it. You've got the story, and you're going to tell it after this break on Big Noon Sports, presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage.
It's time to ring in the new year right.
Bama, a winner over the Georgia Bulldogs, claiming the SEC title.
It's the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Michigan Wolverines in the college football playoff semifinal at the Rose Bowl. Our coverage starts at 1 on New Year's Day on your home for Alabama football.
Brought to you by Birmingham Racecourse. BirminghamRacecourse.com. You can be a winner too.
Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as Roll Tide as Houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
It is indeed Big Noon Sports. Matt Lars, Noah Wyatt is on hand as well. And wanted to remind you folks, I just looked up. In fact, I'm going to do it again while we are live on the air. Isn't this absolutely compelling radio? The weather forecast for Saturday is just one big, beautiful yellow sun. No clouds at all. Kickoffs at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be about 60 to 65 degrees with a high, games in around 67. I don't know if you get better football weather than we're going to get this Saturday. So it's perfect for the 76 Birmingham Bowl. You need to get your tickets now. As the commercial that you hear regularly on this station, you can get a ticket as low as $30. This day and age, you don't get good quality football entertainment. It's Duke, by the way, and Troy, our neighbors to the south. And they're going to be playing 11 o'clock. Lots on the line for these two teams. Now, lots on the line for Birmingham. We need to support this event. ESPN certainly thinks it's worthy, so you should too. Grab the children, take a break from your holiday shopping, and head down to Protective Stadium this Saturday at 11 o'clock. Go to the Birmingham Bowl, birminghambowl.com. Just hit that, and you'll get so many ways to buy tickets. It's unbelievable. But try and go through the website, so it's directly through our good friends, the Birmingham Bowl. You know, Missy Beatrice and Mark Meadows and those guys down there just do it. They've done a great job for years and years and years. So our advice from Big Noon Sports is to go to the Birmingham Bowl. We were talking about Nick Saban and his ability to recruit. And it started, Lars, because you tell the story so well, it started like the first day he was at the football complex, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was right after he had his opening press conference. He met with the support staff, everyone from janitors to the people who, like mowed the grass, did the upkeep of Mal Moore, to the administrative assistants. And, what his message was, we have to be relentless and almost, perfect in everything we do. And here's what I mean. For the groundskeepers, hey, the first impression that a recruit gets is what the place looks like on the outside. I need you to be as hardworking as I am to make sure that the outside of this complex and when you go over to Bryant Denny, that it's as as pristine as the Garden of Eden. It has to be perfect. And then, telling the administrative assistants, hey, the first time a recruit deals with an actual face in real life at Alabama, you are it. And so, treat everyone with respect, have a smile on your face, be welcoming, be warm, and, just sort of counseling them on it. And the janitors, hey, when they step into this building, it needs to be as spotless as, your wedding day china or whatever. It just has to be perfect.
Good.
And so everything. I mean, there's no detail that's too extraneous for Nick Saban to cover. And I think that is it's those little things. And I've asked Nick many times, what's the secret? What's the secret? And he just will kind of lean back in his chair and start laughing. He's like, there's no secret. It's hard, blank, blank work.
Yeah.
It's work. And that's the thing about life in general, Matt. There's no shortcuts. I mean, if you want to be great, you want to be the best, you want to be a highly successful human, you got to work. Because nothing is gifted, ultimately. Nothing is gifted. And it comes down to those two fundamental words, hard work.
Absolutely. And it all started there in 07, I guess, when he first came into campus. And then, he got Julio. And you're the one that first brought that up about how pivotal that signing was. And it started there. And I think this is from pretty good memory. I think he started with an 8 or a 9 class, because he hit the ground running now. But mm-hmm. I think over the past 15 years, he has had 1, 2, or at the very out point, 5, top yeah. 5 in the nation. And if you'll notice, Lars, you look at the other teams that have maintained that level of excellence in recruiting, and where are they? They're in the top 4 teams in the nation playing for the national championship. I can't speak for Washington, because that's kind of a geographic area. I can't really keep up with recruiting in much. But let's just name some teams. Maybe they're not in the Final Four for the CFP, but Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia. Let me just those three. To have over the past 10 years, have they not just flipped back and forth? Who's 1, who's 2, who's 3,
right.
Who's 1?
And Kirby Smart, who had a front row seat to Nick Saban and his recruiting longer than Kirby Smart, right?
No.
There's a reason why Kirby Smart is so good at recruiting, because he's replicating everything Nick Saban did, and of course he's putting his own sort of twist on it. Right? His own sort of personality into it. And, but the framework is what he learned in Tuscaloosa. And it comes down to, this story, Matt, when Nick Saban and Miss Terry, and a lot of it has to do with Miss Terry, and I want to get into her a little bit more in a second, but when they got on that plane in South Florida and decided that they were going to come to Tuscaloosa, the thing that he told Mal Moore is like, I don't know about coaching, but one thing I can do is I can get the talent. And that goes back to also what he said many times. It's what is it? It's not the jockey. It's the horses that win the race. And like Nick Saban in this metaphor is the jockey, and the horses are the players. And so, I mean, he's known from day one just exactly what's important. And it's like you can't, talent.
You know, we worked off and on with Wimps Anderson, who I have known for a long time, back before he was head coach, back when C.M. Newton. We have a great friendship. And he has always told me, and I heard him say it on the radio earlier this week, when it comes down to having success in a program, there are three things. And here is the first one. This is in order, okay? This is the priority. And he said, one, the horses, always, far and above anything else. The other thing he said was scheduling. You know, particularly this is big in basketball, because back in the day when he was there, you needed to get 20 wins and you really weren't going to be considered for the NCAA tournament unless you won your league. But after that, scheduling, because you needed to get eight teams that you know you could beat, and then maybe a couple that you really needed to just sharpen and play somebody tough. And it, you know what he ranked last? Coaching.
Yeah.
And that really probably is more basketball specific, but I think football's up there as far as the priorities are concerned as well.
No, I agree. And you got to have the talent. Doesn't matter how good a coach you are if you don't have the talent. And I've always, it's sort of this eternal question, is how much does a coach matter? Well, I mean, what is coaching? Is it recruiting? Is it growing the player? Is it, is it X's and O's? There's just so much
scouting. I mean, there's so much to it.
There's just so much that goes into it. And, both of us have spent our careers kind of thinking about it. And I still don't have a good answer. But what I do know is the best way to find the answer is to figure out what the guys on top do, and how do they do it. And that's why it's been so fascinating, and I feel so lucky to have had this time to have a front row seat to Nick Saban, and written, you know, two books on Saban and you know, countless magazine stories. I mean, I bet I've written over, maybe 100, 200, maybe 400,000 words on Nick Saban in my life. And I'm still fascinated by the guy.
Well, man.
I'm still trying to figure him out.
So is everybody else, by the way. So don't feel like you're the lone soldier. All right. We'll get back. We'll wrap up the Wednesday edition of Big Noon Sports. You're listening to Matt, Lars, Noah, and Wyatt today.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody. Coming up Thursday on the Gary Harris Show, we'll recap the first day of the early national signing period. Plus, we'll talk Atlanta Falcons with D. Orlando Ledbetter and my pal Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340, plus your phone calls and more. That's Thursday's Gary Harris Show.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Planning a holiday party?
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon, the high today 54. Another freeze likely tonight, clear with a low at 30. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine, the high 57. And Friday, the warming trend continues. The sky sky partially sunny, the high at 60. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 53 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
Signing day. Signing day 2023. We'll have another one in 2024 in February. But right now, Lars had just pulled up an article that was posted just a few minutes ago. And they are already kind of deciding in certain areas who the winners and losers are. And it's only 2 o'clock. So it's a lot of the day left. And of course, they can sign tomorrow, by the way. They can sign up to Wednesday of February. But anyway, it says, one of the biggest winners, go Big Red, Nebraska. And they're basing a lot of that on Dylan Raiola, who flipped from Georgia. Pretty cool. Yep. Nobody's going to be surprised by a lot of these names. When I get a little further down, you might be. Alabama, you know what they're basing that on? Basically, on the potential of Ryan Williams, who is committed a long, long time ago, but will not actually sign till February. Outstanding wide receiver out of Saraland. And then, of course, Saiyan. He's the big-time quarterback Alabama signed, and he's already at practice. Miami of Florida is listed among the top. How about this Texas Tech? Huh. Pretty interesting. Ohio State. All right. Those are listed as winners. Here are your lists of losers. Georgia. Man, that's hard to believe.
It is really hard to believe because they just...
But they're basing that on the loss of Raiola.
Yeah, well, they still have the number one overall recruiting class in the country. But no, they don't have a quarterback the caliber of Raiola on the roster to be the successor to Carson Beck, who, by the way, Carson Beck said he is coming back next year. So I wouldn't shed too many tears for Georgia.
Southern California got my USC's mixed up, and you can understand there because Lincoln Riley is a heck of a recruiter. He's a heck of a quarterback recruiter, and plus I would maintain that USC, if needed, and I'm sure that they do, is probably got NIL money right up there just beneath Texas and Texas A&M. The other one, they said that the Big 12 was losing big time, just as a group. So there you have it, the winners and losers as of 151.
Yeah, the instant analysis. Yeah, it's just, you know, in order to properly rank these recruiting classes, you got to give it 2-3 years. It's the same in the NFL. You know, everybody wants to assign grades right after the draft is over, but in reality, you can't do that until, 3 years later. I mean, Tom Brady, 6th-round draft pick.
and it took Bledsoe getting hurt for him to get into the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, they're just guys that you hit on that you never thought would do anything, and they break the mold and they end up exceeding expectations, and that's the same way with recruiting. I mean, oftentimes it's the 3-star who's going to end up being the star of your team. Mac Jones, wasn't he a 3-star? And I know Mac Jones is struggling, but whatever. He led Alabama to a national championship, was an incredible quarterback in Alabama, and became a first-round draft pick, yet he was a 3-star quarterback coming out of high school. So, you never know.
Did you ever see those pictures of him when he was much younger? And yeah. Evidently, he was a hell of a tennis player. But did you ever see those photographs when he was like tennis player / model?
No.
Of Mac? Everybody right now, stop what you're doing and Google it, because you'll be able to find it. They're very, very funny, and there's no way that I think I can accurately describe it without stepping on a toe or two. So that will be your homework assignment over the next 22 hours is to find some of those. You know, the tennis sweaters that you would wear if you were at Harvard?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the knit ones that have the V and then they're colored around the V with some stripes. He was donning that. And, you know, and some, what's the guy's name, Perry? Famous tennis player that turned a clothing designer. Some of those shorts. But anyway, I just decided to chase that rabbit all the way through the hole and out the ground on the other side. So there you go. As we wrap up, I was thinking about something. Did you watch Blindside, the movie?
Yes. Nick Saban appears as himself in that movie.
That's right. But where was he coaching?
He was coaching at LSU.
All right. There were several others that appeared. Do you want me to test your memory or you just want me to kind of throw them out there?
Hugh Freeze, obviously.
No, he was in the movie as a high school coach. He was the kid's
But didn't he play himself?
No. It was played by...
Oh, okay. I'm wrong on that. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's... Geez, I wouldn't have gotten them all. I did most of this from memory.
Okay.
Tommy Tuberville, but he was not at Auburn. He was at Ole Miss. Houston Nutt, Arkansas, he was in there. I believe Ed Orgeron and Philip Fulmer were in the living room as well. And Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz was in that movie.
Wow.
Recruiting Michael Oher. I don't know. Just a fun signing day note to share.
Yeah, and there's a lot of backstory and current story going on with that movie and that moment. But, yeah. But all in all, I think this is an incredibly successful day so far for Alabama. And in just... You know, there has not been any sort of slowdown in the recruiting machine that is Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. Even at age 72, he still has that internal motor redlining when it comes to recruiting. So impressive.
As we roll out, I urge you to go to the Tide website, Tide100.9.com. You can get the information on recruiting straight from Kerry Clark. Right now, I'm looking at another one. Georgia's number one, Ohio State, then Alabama's third. Florida State is fourth in this one. And Texas is fifth. I probably don't have time to scroll through all of these. But I got to think some of these national surveys, research, whatever you want to call it, polls, I think that I think Auburn's got to enter in there somewhere because it sure looks like they're headed for a top 10 class. Hey, Lars, let's do this all again in 22 hours, all right?
Let's do it.
And many thanks to Noah and to Wyatt. Thanks for listening to Big Noon Sports.